Bless God. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 11, we're still talking about the Spirit-filled life. And isn't it great if we know Jesus, we can have life and life to the full? And God is not just someone that we experience in our mind, but we also experience in our hearts and our spirits. We're taking time, and kids are dismissed to kids' church. Thank you, Glenn. You all threw me off. We're taking time this fall to talk about the Spirit-filled life, and there is much that we can say about it. Of course, that second work of grace, the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, what a wonderful experience it is. But we need to realize that this is just a doorway to a deeper and richer spiritual life. We could, and I'm sure at some time we will, we have in the past, but a lot of things bear repeating. Talk about the fruits of the Spirit. But in these few weeks, we're going to talk about the things that should mark the person who is filled by the Spirit, the person who's been born again and is walking in the power of the Spirit of God. Our text once again is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank you once again for the hand and moving of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for your grace and strength. We just ask now in the name of Jesus that you would help us as we open up the Scriptures today. Give words not only to the speaker, but give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had one other announcement. This Saturday at 7 p.m., Billy Graham is having a special. It's on different times during the week, but I know the local channel will be Channel 30. And I believe it has, from what I've seen on his website, some really good and powerful testimonies, both young people and older people. And it's a good opportunity to invite a friend over or encourage a friend watch the testimony, and God speaks to us in many ways. And we sow the Word of God, but we also sow our lives. And these individuals have laid their life out, and I think it'll be a blessing. Amen. And be in prayer for this, that God would really touch people's hearts. It's something to see Brother Graham in his advancing years. This may be one of his last times that he reaches out to our country. And so may God bless him. Amen. But this morning we're talking, we have been talking about the qualities of a Spirit-filled life. And we've been filled with the Spirit, and we're growing in the Spirit. And this is something that obviously we need to allow God to do in us. Because God's not going to force anything on us that we don't want. Can he? Yes, he can. But he will not. As far as accepting Jesus, the Bible says, "Whosoever will may come." Growing in Jesus. God wants us. He's not going to force us to become people of wisdom or people of understanding or of knowledge or fear of the Lord, some of the things that we've already discussed. This morning we're going to take time and talk about the Spirit of counsel. And, you know, every time I dig into these things, I think, wow, you know, this is the most important one until I get to the next one. And I'm like, this one's the most important or as important, and they're all very important. This is one of the things that Jesus promised In fact, Isaiah, as we'll see in just a few moments ago, before Jesus Christ was even born, foretold that part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ would be that of a counselor, one to give us advice and guidance in life. And I don't know about you, but there are times, many times, that I need God's guidance. I can't live this life on my own. If I don't have God to lead and guide me, I'm going to end up in trouble. I think some of us have kind of, I think at different times in our lives, all of us have kind of a Thomas complex. And when I'm speaking of Thomas, I'm speaking of the disciple. And we normally think of Thomas as, you know, the guy who didn't believe that Jesus raised from the dead and wouldn't believe unless he saw the nail prints in his hand. But in John chapter 14, and when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God and the way to know God, Jesus said to his disciples, "You know the way to go." Thomas responded, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" That often describes me. God, I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know where you're leading me, and I have an idea what your will is for my life, but oftentimes I don't know how to get there. There are times in our lives where we reach crossroads. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. Or if we have an idea of what we should be doing, we don't know how to go about doing it. But God doesn't want us to be a people kind of just floundering around, not really sure where we're at, where we're going, what we want to do. God has sent His Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. But then there are times where we, because we're not listening to God, we get out of God's will. And that's another reason why we need to constantly be under the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we're going is contrary to God's plan. And I have found something very interesting. When I get to the point where I'm really thick-headed, which, you know, is more often than I'd like, and I'm not really hearing God, and I'm not really where I'm supposed to be, and all of a sudden, everywhere I go, there's always a roadblock. Or things that I want or that I'm pressing for get farther and farther away. Now, that doesn't always necessarily mean that I'm not in God's place. Sometimes we got to hold on to things. But more often than not, if I'm not listening to God, I'm ending up in places that I don't belong, and so my life is frustrated. So it's important as believers that we realize the need to rely upon the counsel or the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives. Saints of old did this. Currently reading through 1 Samuel. Actually, now I'm in 2 Samuel. And, of course, the main character in that book, in both those books, 1 and 2 Samuel, is David. Now, David had a lot going on for him. He was a mighty warrior of God, you know, powerful, good-looking, charismatic. Everybody loved David. But David, especially at the early part of his life, sometimes we can forget, and that's another lesson for another time. But before he did anything, he always asked God, "Should I do this? Should I go to war against these peoples? Should I go back when he was a fugitive? Shall I go back to Judah after Saul died?" He didn't go on his own initiative. He trusted God. And even more so today in the New Testament, we are to be people who lean hard under the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, under His wisdom, His leading, and His guidance. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Who are the children of God? Those who are led by God, that which means God has a path for us that we should be following. Now, what does this mean as far as God counsels us? A lot of people don't quite understand and don't grasp the concept. And it is a difficult concept to sometimes grasp because we have to change, and we do when we accept Jesus Christ, our whole way of thinking. You know, before you accepted Christ as your Savior, who was in charge of your life? You were. Well, to a certain extent, you know, you had different people over you, but you decided what you wanted to do, where you were to go. Everything was about you. But when you come to Jesus, and yes, when you come to Jesus, you come to live. But before you live, you've got to die. Which means my whole way of living, the way I used to live before, now has to change completely. Instead of it being all about me, it now becomes about Jesus. And some of you might be sitting there this morning and saying, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can handle that, and I don't know if that's the best thing for me. And let me tell you, it is. Your eternal soul is worth more than anything that this world has to offer. But even in this world now, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it to the full. Anything you give to the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives you back and more so. If you know Jesus, your life will be full and abundant. But going about life changes when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now God wants to have regular input. I'd almost say daily. I held off saying that. Daily input into your life. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. The Bible says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Which means what? He wants to lead, He wants to guide, and He wants to protect us. In fact, this is something God has always done. God has never changed. It's part of His nature to be involved in the lives of His creation. Hebrews 1:1 tells us, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. We see that in the Old Testament. It wasn't just God was silent. In fact, the days of Genesis, and you know, we went through Genesis in our Wednesday Bible study, and God, it seems, was on speaking terms with men who would follow Him by faith. Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. God would speak to them. Or God, if He wanted to speak to people, would send prophets. Or in the case of David, there was something associated with worship in the Old Testament called the Urim and Thummim. And you could ask God questions, and He would answer your questions from those things. God at times would send angels to tell people what to do. And of course, in the Old Testament, they had then what we have now, the Word of God. God gave Him the writings of the law and the prophets so that they would know His will and His ways. And Scripture tells us, as I mentioned a few moments ago, that part of the redemptive ministry of Christ is that Christ, when He comes into your life, will lead you and guide you through all of life's situations, easy, hard, complicated, or simple. This is a Scripture we normally associate with Christmas, but it speaks to us now today in the topic we're discussing. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Two things That title of Wonderful Counselor tells us about the guiding, leading, counseling ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, He will give us that leading that we so desperately need and desire. But number two, it will be wonderful. It's not just advice, you know. A lot of people will give you advice, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But the counsel of God would far supersedes any advice or counsel that you can get from any source on this earth. It's divine. It's supernatural. But it's also something that is beyond understanding. And that's important too. Because in following God, yes, there are many places of blessing. But if we truly follow God and are truly open to the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is His leading and His guidance, it will lead to times of danger. Psalm 23 bears this out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's all pretty good, isn't it? You know, what do you think of? You think of, you know, Jesus all in white with the staff and a sunny day and green grass and nice clear waters and He's bringing the sheep there and everything's just nice and cozy and wonderful. And then all of a sudden something changes. Even though, and if He's a sheep, this is David writing this, if He's a sheep, He's following God. The Lord's His shepherd. And the Lord, yes, is going to lead him to places of blessing, but He's also going to lead him to places of danger. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So, danger. Life-threatening danger sometime is in the plan of God for your life. God laid it all on the line for you, and there'll be times where He will ask you to do the same. But we have the promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us and will guide us all through that way. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the thing about the counseling ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It requires that we be willing no matter what. Because there will be times of just immense blessing. And we're always blessed even when we go through times of difficulty. David said even, and he lived it. It wasn't a matter, he was just, you know, waxing poetic one day and wanted to talk some nice thoughts and make people happy. He lived being in the presence of his enemies and facing the valley of the shadow of death. And he found out that following God sometimes requires, amidst the many blessings, and there's even blessings when we're in those terrible places, the comfort and presence of God, that there'll be times where we will go where we do not want to go. And sometimes it's not even dangerous. Sometimes we just don't want to go there. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. In times where we expose ourselves to danger. And this ministry is fulfilled in our lives this day through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26 says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." I know the King James Version translates that comforter. The Greek word, for those interested, is parakletos, which means comes alongside. And there is a lot to be said about that word, parakletos, or counselor, or comforter. But the idea there, what Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples in those few moments, and this was literally days before he was going to be crucified, the idea that he was trying to convey to them is what David wrote about way back in Psalm 23. I am the good shepherd, and I'll always be with you, and I'll lead you, but I'll also comfort you, and I'll also guide you. The Holy Spirit is going to fulfill that in your lives as you live for me after I leave. And that was the whole, you know, John 14, 15, 16. It was Jesus' last words to the disciples in getting them ready to live life without him there physically. But it would be better because the Spirit of God would be in them. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit was doing, in addition to wisdom and understanding and power and might and all those other things, was to give them counsel. So if that's the case and that's how God moves today, brothers and sisters, if we know Jesus and we don't want to be just kind of floundering around not knowing what we should do, we've got to be in tune with the Spirit. We've got to be seeking the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we've got to understand how the Holy Spirit counsels us. And so, this morning I would like to leave with you seven ways. Six or seven. I think two I'm combining. Seven ways that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us today, because it's not just important to know that God speaks. It's also important to know how he speaks so that we can recognize his voice. Jesus in John 10 saying, "My sheep know my voice." And the first thing that we have to understand is that the Spirit does want to speak into your heart and life. God just doesn't have a special relationship with, you know, the disciples in the Old Testament or you know, pastors or missionaries or, you know, godly brother so-and-so, a godly sister so-and-so. God's influence, God's counsel is for everybody. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus Christ himself has messages for seven churches, and he says this one scripture, this one phrase to each and every church as he's giving them their individual messages. Revelation 2:7, repeated six more times in this passage. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Two things in that. Number one, the Holy Spirit has something to say to his church. And it's not just one person, or even three people, or the leadership. It's to everyone who has ears. So unless you're Van Gogh, that message is for you. And God has something to tell you. Of course, the voice of the Holy Spirit is seen in many different ways. Most obviously, and I mention it, although we all know it, God speaks to us today through his Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 talks about the sword of what? The Spirit, which is the Word of God. I can't tell you, and in my life, I can't speak for everyone. But in my life, I think the greatest way that God has spoken to me is just by bringing to my mind a certain scripture that relates to a situation that I'm going through. I remember there was one situation, you know, I was at one of those crossroads in life, not sure what to do. And all of a sudden, and I've shared this before, but I think it bears sharing again. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God just quickened to my heart the words that he spoke to through Moses to the children of Israel when Pharaoh and his armies were coming against them on the banks of the Red Sea. "Stand still and see the salvation of God." I didn't know what to do. I was in a situation. I didn't know how to get out of it. And all of a sudden, that scripture came flying through my heart and mind. And so, thankfully, I just waited on God. And God took care of the whole situation for me. I didn't have to do a thing. Now, I'm not saying that's in every situation. But in every situation, God has something to tell you, and oftentimes it's through His Word. Secondly, through supernatural means. One of the things that will mark, that should mark and does mark the church, especially as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the supernatural manifestations of God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Peter, in talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God speaks today through His Word, but also God, the Bible tells us, speaks supernaturally through many ways of His Holy Spirit. Through some dreams and visions. Through some words of prophecy, or if we go to 1 Corinthians 12, the different gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of discernment of spirits. God also raises up prophets and teachers and pastors and all the different gifts listed in Ephesians 4 and Romans chapter 12 to give us a word in due season. And if we're truly, and that's why it's important that we're all moving and working in the Spirit, not only for ourselves, that we can hear from God, but that God might use us to speak to someone else. Because a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy, you don't have to be a prophet or a powerful man of God. Sometimes it's through the mouth of babes that God can speak wisdom, clarity, guidance into a life of an individual. We need to be open to that. As we live life. Now, you know, does everyone who comes up to you with a word, so to speak, is it truly from God? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We have to be discerning on that. But we, in being discerning, we must be open. God also speaks through our heart and our feelings. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. It doesn't come out in any other translation, but the King James and also Young's Literal, and it does talk about the Spirit pressing Paul. The Apostle Paul, in speaking about his ministry, specifically to the Jews, Acts 18, 5 reads, when both Silas and Timotheus came down from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, testifying fully to the Jews, Jesus was the Christ. You know, there are many voices that speak to us. And depending on, you know, where we are in life and what we've gone through in life, one of the loudest voices that we hear in our heads is not our friend or someone speaking to us, and sometimes it's not even our minds, it's our heart. Or a conscience. You should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing this. Voice of compassion. In fact, we'll talk about this in a little bit. And God knows that. God can impress upon our hearts, you know, I just know I should be doing this. And did God tell you? No, I just know. And that is a way that God speaks. Sometimes as far as where we should be going, what we should be doing, we just, you know, our heart is moved towards or away from a certain individual or certain circumstance. It's important that God speaks to us through our hearts because our heart is a very important part of who we are. It's something that we consider in the decisions that we make, or at least I do. God knows that because He created us. And so He speaks through our hearts. I don't have a scripture for this, and the reason is self-evident. Sometimes God speaks to us through silence. There may be times, and there have been times where I've sought God, fasting and praying, and just, God, what should I go? Where should I go? What should I do? And the answer I receive is no answer at all, nothing. And I've come to find out that if I'm truly seeking God, and no answer is forthcoming, then that's the answer itself. Don't do anything. We always want to be, it's funny, I find this more, the longer I go in life, I find this to be true. We always feel safety if we're doing something. I got to be doing something. We're never restful or quiet. Sometimes God doesn't want us to do anything. Just hold tight. So if God is not speaking, we need to discern His voice of silence. And then, of course, there's the voice of love, which speaks as far as our motivations. Psalm 32:8, and this is in NIV 2011. It's not in any other translation. And I'm not sure why it's in this translation, but it does illustrate a very important part. The psalmist writes, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." One of the things that should always lead and guide us in our life, making decisions that we make, is love. Love is something that is essential. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that we're to live in love. And those times that you're not sure what you should do, especially as it relates to relationships with other people, as long as what you're doing is in a sincere spirit of love, you will never go wrong. Because God is love. Of course, it's important that we know the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we know that a dream is from God or not of God, that we know a prophecy is from God or not of God, that we know a word is from God and not of God, that we know a thought is from God and not of God, even a scripture. Yeah, I've shared this before as far as when I got, when I was first diagnosed with cancer. I quoted a lot of scriptures, but the one that really spoke to my heart was the one God spoke to me. That wasn't even on the horizon of scriptures that I was looking at. Romans 8:16 tells us the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we're filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit and we're having communion with God, through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with the saints, we will know the voice of God, and we will know when God is speaking or when someone's just meaning well, or it's just us. A couple more things before we end today. Number one, when does He speak? Psalm 16, verse 7 says, "I will praise the Lord, who counsels me even at my night, my heart instructs me." Even in the nighttime, God can speak to us. I think that's, some people could say, that sometimes it might be a dream, or some people might have even heard the voice of the Lord as they're sleeping. But in a broader sense, what I think this scripture is saying is that God speaks to us both when we expect it and when we don't expect it. To be honest with you, when I go to bed at night, I don't go to bed expecting to have some revelation from God. I hope I do, but it's usually not a thing in my mind. Usually I'm just so dead dog tired I can't wait to lay down. But I'm going to live under the counsel of the Holy Spirit. My ear needs to always be open and attentive, because at any time God might drop something in there. We need to be prepared. Musicians, if you come this morning, very briefly, as we close this morning, we need the wisdom and guidance. Life is just so complicated. And let me tell you, it gets more complicated after you accept Christ as your Savior. I wish I could tell you it didn't. Because God will have you go places that you don't want to go and go through things that you don't want to go through. It's all for His perfect plan and will. But if we're filled with the Spirit and we're walking with the Spirit, and if we could sing Oceans again, because I think that was very, that would fit very well to how we're closing today. You know, walking with God, our relationship with God can be described in so many ways, but one way, one word that Jesus uses to describe our relationship with Him is friendship. I've had a lot of friends over the years because different things happen. We move away or we just lose touch. We don't keep in contact as much as we used to. And I even talked to some on the phone many years after the fact, and I didn't know who they were because I didn't recognize them. Same thing can happen in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My personal experience is you have to, if you want to, you know, walk in the Spirit and walk under the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to stay, I was going to say stay with it, but stay with Him. And your relationship with Him needs to become your priority. It's the little things that move us away from God. It's, you know, the distractions, the busyness, all those different things, and our lives get so filled up that our time with God becomes less and less. We want to be walking that surety of life that God wants us to live in. We need to be, our relationship with God needs to be our priority. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing that chorus again together in closing, and then we're going to pray together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.